It's time for Real Money with David Holland. Because David isn't just a radio personality, but also provides financial advice to clients, we must pause for a word from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation. An engagement of services to be offered are only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
And we're back. And Scott and I are talking about very important stuff, razor blades. We're not supposed to do that though, right? Anyway, we're talking about the merits of the straight blade versus these disposable jobs. And Scott says I should try the straight blade.
You should.
I'm going to try it. And I'll report back to you. And you know, we weren't ready for this last year, but going into this year, I'm ready because October is what's supposed to be called Movember. Have you heard of this?
I have.
And it's for Prostate Cancer Awareness Month.
Mm-hmm.
Every month has like 15 different things that it has. So anyway, so this year, the Holland Financial men, women, of course, could if they want, but that, of course, is not probably what they're interested in. The men are going to have a competition on who can grow the best beard. Are you in?
I am not.
All right. Well, let's get into the market.
The fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
Caitlin can grow a beard in like 2 hours.
You're kidding me, right?
No, he does that April Easter thing. It's like one day he shows up with a beard.
You're kidding me. He nurses. It takes him a whole month to get to that.
Oh, please.
No.
I'm not competing with that.
All right.
Wednesday's trade, again, volatile, dicey. Nothing really a big deal, but I do have a handful of interesting little tidbits here. By the end of the day on Wednesday, the Dow was down 32 points. No big deal. NASDAQ down 19. S&P down 6. Another very weak day for gold, down almost $18 an ounce. We're going to see gold inside $1,500 really soon here. Also on the commodity trade, oil down $1.37 at $92.61. We'll likely see oil inside of $90 a barrel sometime next week.
That's got to translate to lower gases at the pump.
Yeah, it does.
Lower prices at the pump.
Yeah, except it's an indication that traders are seeing more and more global slowdown. So it's not necessarily good news. It's kind of a double-edged thing. But
well, it's bad news in terms of that. But then, ironically, then when consumers can spend less on gas, they can make good on other parts of their spending, either saving, paying off debt, or spending it on, you know, I use the analogy of either you're filling up with gas or you're buying the chicken wings.
Yeah, and I think oil was probably overpriced for the last couple of months anyway, but that's the lowest close on Wednesday's trade that we've seen since November. So good moves there. Tens at 176. They've been hovering around that high 170 range for a while. Wednesday, we did get the most recent version of the Fed minutes. And the quote in there is that a couple, and that's in quotes, of Fed policymakers are in favor of further quantitative easing if the economy falters. They're not going to do it right now, but if we see a slowdown in jobs, they're going to do it.
Haven't we already seen that, though?
If we start to see flat jobs growth or negative jobs growth, they're going to do it. I think you're right.
I don't think there's much question about that. Now, what would that do to inflation and gold and the market?
Well, inflation's a big factor there because they're not going to do it if we have hot inflation. But inflation numbers have been so tame that I don't think that'll stop them from doing it. And what we've seen every time that they have done a pure quantitative easing strategy, commodities go up, stocks go up. So, you know, if we see that happen, we have pretty recent precedent to try to take advantage of. So in Europe, German Chancellor Angela Merkel said that she really wants Greece to stay in the euro. What else is she going to say at this point?
Of course she's going to say that.
But really no real new news out of Greece today. We'll see what happens over the weekend. They continue to try to figure out how they're going to do this new election in June.
What a mess.
But the new election in June is coming. Some good housing news in Wednesday's market. Housing starts rose more than expected for April, gaining 2.6%. Seasonally adjusted annual rate, this is for housing starts, this is actual construction. Annual rate of 717,000 units, analysts expecting 680,000 units. So pretty good news there.
That's encouraging.
And then also in the housing market, mortgage delinquencies declined. At the end of March, let's call it 12% of all loans were at least 30 days past due or in foreclosure. If we go back 2 years ago, that number was almost 15%. So some good news there. People are getting caught up on their mortgages, and that is the number. If you break down the number, it really is a reflection of people getting caught up, not mortgages just sort of disappearing through
foreclosure. Okay, so it's real improvement.
Yeah, I think so. A couple of other pieces of economic news. Industrial production, as announced by the Fed, grew 1.1% in April. That's the fastest growth in over a year, so pretty good news there. And lots of corporate news. The ongoing saga of J.P. Morgan, they have the $2 billion trading loss. It was announced that the trader who was responsible for that big trade was leaving the firm, and then the firm came out and said, no, he's not leaving, because honestly, if he leaves now, they have a real problem because they don't know how to unwind that trade. He's got to unwind it.
Well, not only that, then he can talk and sing like a canary.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll have some type of a severance package that will preclude him from doing that. But so J.P. Morgan under a lot of pressure again on Wednesday. In addition, Morgan Stanley and Citigroup also trading lower, which makes me think maybe some people in the know suspect that there are similar trades.
Well, aren't the shareholders also suing them, J.P. Morgan?
They're not suing them as far as this is too fresh. They wouldn't have had time. They just had a meeting and they put Jamie Dimon back in the seat. I'm going to get run out of here in a second, so I want to tell you about Facebook. They have increased the number of shares that they're going to offer in their IPO by 25%.
So it's not just the price is going up per share, but they're also increasing the total amount they're going to sell.
Yeah, here's why.
Okay.
You got to be really, really careful on this stuff. Facebook said on Wednesday they're going to boost the size of their IPO by 25%. It's an extra about 100 million shares. Where do you think those shares are coming from?
I'm going to guess they're going to come from the insiders.
They're coming from the underwriters. They're coming from Goldman Sachs. They're coming from Tiger Global Management. They have, once this pricing started to get really hot, Goldman Sachs says, listen, instead of selling just a little bit, we're going to go ahead and sell a lot. They're going to sell as much as 50% of their holdings in Facebook. Originally, that was about 23%. Tiger Global Management is going to sell also about 50% of their holding. Originally, that was supposed to be about 7%.
Interesting.
So you got to be very, 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 very careful on these IPOs. It wouldn't surprise me a bit on Friday to see this thing trade over $100 a share. Wouldn't surprise me even the least.
And I wouldn't be surprised if some of these insiders sell all their stuff they got. Unload all of it.
It wouldn't surprise me in the least either. The important thing to remember on these things for individual investors is not what it trades at on Friday. It's where it's trading a year from now.
I was going to say what it closes at on Friday, but then you're exactly right. There are so many examples that we've done on the show before of companies that it's the Icarus, you know, they go into the sky up too close to the sun and their glue melts on their wings and they come crashing back to the ground.
You have to be very, very careful on this IPO thing. There are way too many non-professional traders that are going to get in there and push that price up beyond a sustainable price, I think.
I think you're exactly right. All right, Scott. Well, thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read. You'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And I have been continuing my guest series, and we're going to have a special guest on the program today. I know a lot of people are dealing with their credit and being able to qualify for mortgages or refinancing. And so we've invited a special guest, Aram Saeed, who is an author and works in the commercial lending area and residential mortgages and such. And she has written a book on how to restore and repair your credit. Are you there, Aram?
I am, yes. Thank you so much.
Wonderful. We're so glad to have you on the program today. You have written the book, and I'll give this out for everybody to know what it is because I've already been through it. I think it's a really good way of looking at your credit and how to repair it. The name of the book is How to Raise Your Credit Score 25 to 100 points in 48 hours, guaranteed.
Yes.
And that is on Amazon.com. And so people can, they can go there and they can get the book. So tell us a little bit about your background and what you got you to the point of to writing this book and making it available to the world so that other people can, you know, learn the things you know about how to repair your credit.
Okay, great. Well, first of all, thank you so much, David, for having me on the show and for the wonderful work that, that you do through your show. You know, spreading information like that. And that was basically the primary reason why I decided to write the book. And I share that in the book. Also, I'll just share it briefly here, that being in the mortgage industry now for about 10 years, but I started learning about credit repair when I was still doing residential loans. And I faced excruciating competition at that time and just happened to accidentally learn the value of credit repair at that time, just to basically set myself apart from the competition and ultimately actually learning how valuable this turned out to be. Because as I learned to do the credit repair, I found out that so many of my clients, over 50% of them that I used to decline loans for, I could actually do some very minor credit repair, not even major stuff, and was able to get them qualified. And one of the tools that mortgage lenders have that the general public is not aware of is that we actually can repair credit within a matter of few hours, as the title suggests, within 24 to 48 hours. And it is a huge and valuable tool for consumers, I think, especially in this economy, because everybody really, really needs to understand the value of credit scores today, because it's not just your mortgages anymore. It's not just for your business or your home or your car loan. As you probably are already aware, that you know your insurance company is going to judge what kind of rate they're going to give you based on your credit. Even for employment, most employers are not going to be pulling credit. So utilities, I mean, you name it, it's everywhere now. So it's imperative for everybody now to understand how to fix their own credit and how it all works.
Well, and I think the thing that struck me really was amazing when I was reading through your material is that that you literally could make that kind of impact on your credit and your credit score so quickly, because I think most people, myself included, think, you know, it takes time to repair and improve your credit. Now, obviously, to go from a, you know, a 500 to a 700 score or something like that, it could not be done overnight. But the kinds of things you're talking about are some of the things that are very often overlooked that people can do to improve their credit, to repair it, to correct errors and other things. And this can have a meaningful, a significant enough impact on their credit score that they could get a loan where before they wouldn't, or be able to get a better rate, which can make a real difference in the cost of that mortgage for them.
Absolutely. And actually, you'll be surprised. This just happened yesterday, so I'll be able to use a very fresh example. Somebody had read my book. They emailed me with a question, and they wanted me to look at their credit report. And I looked at it, and one of the things that a lot of people did when there was information on the Internet was to become an authorized user on, let's say, their spouse's credit card. So you have 5 years history. I mean, your wife, let's say, has a five-year history, and you decided to become an authorized user. Well, that no longer works. It used to give them a lot of points in credit history, but that does not work anymore. This gentleman was an authorized user on his uncle's credit card, and it was maxed out at $8,000. And just that one step, David, just getting himself removed, it took one phone call to the credit company, getting himself removed as an authorized user is actually going to give him about 80 points.
Wow.
Just that one little tiny step.
That's a huge difference. You know, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I want you to expand on this. Let me give a couple quick things before we go to the break. We're talking with author Aram Saeed, who has written the book, and it's a big title, but I love it, How to Raise Your Credit Score 25 to 100 Points in 48 Hours Guaranteed. They can go to Amazon.com to get the book. And also, you've got a website, PerfectFICONow.com. We're going to go to a quick break, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back and continue our conversation about how to improve your credit score.
Many people invest without ever knowing what they pay in investment fees. When was the last time you dropped your car off for service and told them to fix whatever they want without getting an estimate first? I'll bet never. Why treat your portfolio any different? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
Okay, we're back. Aram, you there?
Yes.
There you go. Sorry, I was just telling Lisa how great of a job she's doing with the board, and we forgot to push a button. We got to talking on the break. Anyway, that's fun. That's Murphy's Law. But I'm delighted you're with us. Ladies and gentlemen, I have Aram Saeed, who is an author and has written, and she got a lot of experience in the mortgage and the lending business, and she's written the book, How to Raise Your Credit Score, 25 to 100 points in 40 hours, guaranteed, on Amazon.com, and she's also got a website, PerfectFICONow.com. So you were telling the story of somebody who had gotten your book, and they had applied some of the things you've talked about in your book and some of these repair strategies, and able to get an 80-point jump. Now, here's the thing I think that really would be helpful for you to share with our listeners. Talk about what kind of real, not just getting a loan where maybe, I mean, which is a big deal, getting a loan versus not getting a loan, but for people who would otherwise qualify for the loan, how much of an impact can this make if they are able to make, say, a 50 or 100-point increase in their credit because of the things they can do? How much of a difference can that make in terms of what they're going to be paying on a monthly basis or you know, the cost of the loan?
That's a great question, David. And actually, that was one of the key reasons why we used to do the credit repair, because just the score is not the only thing that the lenders look at to get people to qualify or not. It's also their monthly income and expense ratio. So that, too, is hugely impacted by raising your credit scores. And I'll explain that. For example, with the example we just talked about with that gentleman, he is now going to be able to qualify for the home loan, but his car loan is currently at 30%, and he's probably going to be able to get it reduced to something like 4%. So from 13% to 4% is a huge difference.
That's enormous.
Mm-hmm. So you're looking at that, his car payment's going to go down. His mortgage payment is going to be much better than what it would have been had he even been able to qualify. He would have been subprime. Now he would be a prime loan candidate. Then you're talking about credit cards, for example. If people have high interest credit cards and they get better scores, they can get those probably transferred to a new card or a line of credit, or even talk to the creditor and get them to reduce the interest rate.
That's perfect. That's fantastic, because it, you know, and the other thing, of course, is as you bring all these, the interest rates down on all of these various types of debts, you know, your total cost over the life of those loans is going to be far less.
Exactly. And the beauty is, what I teach people to do is get your monthly payments reduced, you know, through the car insurance payment, the car payment, and then start using the extra money that you're saving and start paying your debt off with that. That's actually a really, really basic strategy to pay off your debt faster too.
Well, and I use the analogy very often with my clients, and I talk about, you know, when you're trying to pay stuff off, as you pay off things, you get to apply what you were paying before to the next loan, and you start with the highest interest and you work your way down. And if you take 50 garden hoses and put them together, that's a fire hose.
Mm-hmm,
and so
exactly.
It's a way of working that debt down. Now, here's the big question I think people are going to want to know, and this is something, of course, by getting your book, they'll know about. What are you, when we say repairing the credit, what are some of the examples of, you gave the one about the gentleman getting off of the, as an authorized user, what are some other things that people would be surprised maybe to know that you can do to repair your credit that's not, you know, a whole lifestyle change, it's actual, you know, things that they can do to fix it?
Mm-hmm. I'll give the best one that I like to use is, which probably everybody can use, is looking at your credit card balances. It's on each trade line. Look at the balance to high credit limit ratio, which is, high credit limit is whatever they allow you to have as the limit, not whatever your highest limit has been. So look at that, whatever the creditor is stating your high credit limit to be. And a lot of people actually will be shocked to see that some creditors will not even report it. And so if you have a $10 balance on something that is not reported as having a limit, then you're basically considered over the limit. you're maxed out.
Oh, really?
You're getting,
wow.
Exactly. And you might have, let's say, a card with a $5,000 balance, but it has a $10,000 limit. That's not hitting you adversely, but the $10 could be killing you because you're considered maxed out on that. So very simple strategies like that, where the rule of thumb is you want to be not over 50% of your credit limit, but 33% is the safest ratio. So if you need to maybe, you know, shift the balances around a little bit, move it from one credit card to another until you can pay them off, but try to keep all your credit cards to 50% or less, and you will see an improve in your credit scores immediately.
Well, and what they're looking for, the credit rating agencies or the lenders, are looking that you have capacity, that you are not maxed out.
Mm-hmm, exactly, that you have mature credit habits, that you have limit available, but you're not utilizing all of it.
Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break. We're at capacity. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I would love for Aram to share with you, ladies and gentlemen, how credit scores are calculated. We're going to solve that mystery right after this break. Stay tuned.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
All right, we're back. And as promised, I have Aram Saeed staying with us on the program today. She is an author of How to Raise Your Credit Score, 25 to 100 points in 40 hours, guaranteed, available on Amazon.com. And the website, which I love too, is PerfectFicoNow.com. Aram, you there?
I'm here.
Wonderful. Well, then I'm glad, because I promised everybody before the break that you will describe how credit scores are calculated. Solve the mystery.
Well, first, a disclaimer that nobody actually really knows the credit scoring model for sure, because it's an industry secret.
I see.
It's never been openly shared. Having said that,
I was gonna say it's like Colonel Sanders' recipe. You know, we know that chicken tastes good. We just don't know exactly how they make it. Okay.
Right. So having said that, of course, there are people that have been in this industry and they know, they've worked with the bureaus also.
Okay.
So they know how the credit scoring model works. Now, typically, you're going to be looking at different factors. The way basically the credit scoring model is designed to look at you at that particular time, whenever the credit report is pulled. So you could have had 800 credit score 2 months ago, but then you were late on all your payments, and today it's 600, and they really don't care about what it was last month.
But that's amazing, I think, for people to know. You literally could see just with a couple months of things not going very well, and maybe making some, you know, late payments, you could go drop 200 points?
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, very easily, even wow. 400 points.
Wow.
It's your most recent delinquency, especially if it is within the last 30 to 90 days, is going to really hurt you very adversely, because, again, they are trying to guide their client, who is the creditor, not you. That's another important thing to remember. You're not their client. They're trying to guide their client to understand that this person, you know, what is his credit worthiness? How much of a risk is he? So at this particular moment, he's a big risk because he was late just 30 days ago. So that's how they kind of raise the red flags. That's number one. So your recent delinquency is going to impact you the most. The second thing...
I was just going to say, so prior performance, as far as the credit scoring agencies are concerned, prior performance is indicative of future results.
I guess you could say that.
That's a little bit of a play on, you know, in the investment world, you know, we always have to say, you know, prior performance isn't necessarily indicative of future results. Actual results can and will vary, all that stuff. But the FICO people, you know, and all the folks that look at this are saying, hey, look, this is what they're doing right now. So you know what? They're not as good of a risk.
Well, exactly. And the thing is, like I said, you could have had 10 years of great credit history and 800 scores. And if all of your payments are late today, then that means you are high risk, which would indicate whatever is going on in the economy right now, that, you know, people are losing their jobs that's the first thing I want people to understand. Please, people get so embarrassed when they have bad credit. It happens to everybody. There's life events that happen. You lose a job, you go through a divorce, you know, health issues. So you will be at that particular time considered a bad credit risk. And yes, they will not care about what kind of 10-year history you've had before that. Now, of course, it does help to have credit history, but if you are recently late, all of that is basically just going to be not considered at all. And it, they're just going to go off of the recent late.
Okay. Well, and I kind of got you off track there. I didn't mean to do that, but that was an interesting way of looking at it, because they're not doing business with the person from 10 years ago. They're doing business with the person today.
Exactly.
So you started to describe how they kind of calculate that.
Right. So your credit history is between 10 to 15% is what they're looking at. And by credit history, I'm talking about how seasoned is your credit. Have you had, you know, credit open for 10 years, 15 years, or if you're a student, you may not have any credit. So those things, it's going to about impact you about 10 to 15%. It's always good to have old trade lines. That's the first thing I tell people. Do not close off trade lines, because people think if they pay it off, they should not close it. No. Open trade line with zero balance is wonderful to have. Never, ever close that. Cut off the credit card, but don't cut the.
That's good to know, because I think a lot of people, when they think, okay, well, I need to make myself look, I need to tighten things up. I'm going to get rid of any credit cards I'm not using. I'm going to show them that I'm not, you know, and that's just the opposite of what somebody should do.
Oh, God, yeah. I used to get so many clients that would come to apply for a mortgage loan, and that is exactly what they would have done, because somebody gave them that advice that if you have open credit available, then the bureaus see it as high risk because you have credit available to you. And it's actually the opposite. The way the bureaus see it is, okay, this person has credit available. They're not using it. That means they're mature and they know how to handle credit. So if you do close off that trade line, you're killing that very precious history that you really want, especially if it was something that you've been making on-time payments on. You really lose on a lot of points.
You want to keep that. Well, that makes a lot of sense. All right, well, we're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back, Aram, and you can continue to share some of these very interesting points about how people can repair their credit. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week, I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
All right, we're back. Aram, you there?
I am here.
Wonderful. We are down to the two-minute warning, and it's time to let people know really what you would share with them about your book, How to Raise Your Credit Score, 2,500 points in 40 hours guaranteed, available on Amazon, and what they need to know about this that you would share with them in our last couple minutes of the program.
I purposely made the book very to the point. It is designed to
There's
help
no fluff,
person.
Yeah.
There's no fluff. If you are in a hurry to get your credit fixed because you're closing in 30 to 45 days, then this is the book for you. It's an easy read. I don't think you'll need more than an hour. And then there's a lot of tools that I make available on my website for people to use if they do want to, if they choose to go ahead and repair their own credit.
Yeah, and that's the perfectficonow.com.
That's correct.
Okay, good. Very good. And so the thing I think I've heard from you today is that you can make changes that are not earth-shattering, but some good tips that people can be aware of and things that will help them repair their credit. And it doesn't need to take forever. It doesn't take paying off three or four credit cards or paying off the car loan before you can see your credit score go up.
Yes, and actually, David, one of the things I didn't mention is that in the book I also teach people how to deal with collections and stuff. So actual real derogatories that have happened may be getting reported incorrectly that could be affecting them much worse than they should be. So I deal with that also. And there's a lot of hope for people that do have collections to actually get better credit scores.
Well, and I think a lot of people know, hey, I need to be looking at my credit report, you know, once a year and the free credit report and those things. But there's so many, especially where they're in the process of financing or refinancing or taking out a loan, that some of these simple things that could be wrong can really be costing them serious money when they go to get the loan and have to pay the interest rate.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, Aram. Well, I'm going to give people one more shout out on your information. They can go to Amazon and get your book, How to Raise Your Credit Score, 25 to 100 points in 48 hours guaranteed. They can go to your website, which I think is cool, is perfectficonow.com. And our guest has been Aram Saeed, author and commercial lender. So thank you, Aram.
Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for having me.
All right, you're welcome. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.